And now we'll move to a different kind of drama. The kind that takes place on the silver screen.
Midge, do you remember a fellow in college by the name of Gavin Elster?
Gavin Elster?
That's a funny name.
You think I would? No.
I had a call from Gavin today. It's funny, he sort of dropped out of sight during the war. Somebody said he went east. I guess he's back. Mission number.
Well, it's Skid Row, isn't it?
Tonight is opening night for the San Francisco International Film Festival. The longest-running film fest in the Americas is in its 56th year, and this is its first run under the executive direction of film producer Ted Hope, the new head of the San Francisco Film Society. Hope produced or executive produced 69 films over a span of four decades, including American Splendor, 21 Grams, and In the Bedroom. He's considered by many to be a father of the independent film movement in the U.S., He came by our studios to talk with KALW's Hanna Baba about independent films and what's in store at this year's festival.
At the beginning, I just wanted to make movies that felt emotionally true, that connected about the world we were living in, right? That had a minimal amount of artifice, or if it had artifice, to call attention to that. Audiences, artists, and technology change far faster than business or markets do. You know, so we keep using the same infrastructure to deliver the movies that we love most, yet it's completely changed. So that we're in this era where the whole industry is shifting from a mass market audience, where we have to make movies that please everybody, to niche audiences, where we can go hyper-targeted focus to people, find the movies that specifically speak to them. And at the same time, because, you know, it's no longer, it used to be a U.S.-dominated system, 50,000 films are generated on a global basis per year, right? Feature films from all over the world. And that's kind of, it's wonderful, but it's also overwhelming. And it starts to point out the real need and necessity for film festivals, because you need somebody like the San Francisco International Film Festival, which was the first film festival. It's the longest running film festival in the Americas, and it's always focused on world cinema, to find what is that best menu from all those 50,000 films and bring them to audiences on a local basis.
So let's take some films that are tied to the Bay Area, and we'll talk about one film, which is Google and the World Brain by Ben Lewis, about the people trying to stop Google from carrying out its Google Books plan to scan every book in the world. So let's hear a clip. This is where the filmmakers travel to Spain, to Catalonia, Spain, and they're telling a librarian there about Google's project.
The Association of American Publishers has filed a lawsuit against Google, alleging the internet company's plan to scan and digitally distribute the text of major library collections would violate copyright protections.
I think the issue of copyright is an archaic, unproductive view. When you create something, you're building on the work of other people, no matter who you are, whether you're J.K. Rowling or Shakespeare. You're basing your work on the work of others. You're basically taking their ideas. Artist does not own their ideas. No artist does.
Any useful information exists because of the efforts of real people. And copyright is our way of remembering who those people are. And it's crucial to not lose that. And I think cyber culture is missing the point of copyright. You might say, well, who cares about authors? Let a few authors not make as much money as they would have. But it's a precedent. The whole internet will become a tool for the concentration of power, and that would be a disaster.
That's a clip from Google and the World Brain, a film showing as part of the 56th annual San Francisco International Film Festival. You can see it on April 27th at New People Cinema in San Francisco and on May 5th at Sundance Kabuki Cinemas, also in the city. So, Ted, in this film, they're trying to explain to people that what Google is doing is rendering knowledge that was acquired over thousands of years obsolete by digitizing libraries, you know, book collections, all obsolete for commercial gain. What's the power of a film like this, you know, especially for us here in the Bay Area where Google is in our backyard and chances are many Google workers are listening to us right now and may go see that film?
Well, I think it's the power of any film in particular to spark conversation. That movies, you know, are kind of like those trees that fall in the forest. You know, unless we gather around them to have that conversation, we don't know what they are. You know, to be able to present a movie like Google and the World Brain here in this community, you know that ideas will be shared. That's what you want from a film festival. To be able to do it in a public context with where we give a forum for that conversation, that's fantastic. You know, I'm truly excited by all of the documentaries we have that have that. You see kind of firsthand how they have the power to elicit change. Movies are essentially just that launch pad for us, an easy way to engage. You know, I've always been impressed with the statistic. I think that people only retain 10% of the knowledge from what they read, but 65% from what they see. And I think that with these films, along with several others that we're showing that are, you know, those movies aren't, we have other films that frankly will be even more controversial for audiences. And I think that that at times some films will be polarizing, at sometimes films will be placating, you know, and just how they come to work with our emotions and kind of spur us on to gather more knowledge for ourselves is the key thing.
Mm. Another film is by Dan Kraus, Bay Area-based director known for films like The Death of Kevin Carter and Life 2.0. The film showing at the festival is The Kill Team, and it's about a group of five soldiers, U.S. soldiers, who were accused of killing Afghan civilians in Afghanistan. Here's a clip.
The trial's finally here. I'm pleading guilty to involuntary manslaughter, my other charges of premeditated murder and conspiracy are being dropped.
The Army's just wanting to, you know, make this all go away, and they're trying to drop it down to the lowest common denominator. You know, they want the lowest guys to pay for it. There's nobody been charged, you know, staff sergeant or below, and that's it. There's no officers have any responsibility for anything. It's huge. This thing is big. It's bigger than Adam. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than everybody right now.
Best case scenario, the judge awards me time served and I'd walk out with my family that day. Worst case, I get an 8-year sentence.
If Adam would have went to somebody out there, he would have been dead. He would have came home in a body bag. If we were lucky. Because, you know, Gibbs had threatened him that he would cut him up in a million pieces and throw him to the wild dog packs out there, and nobody would ever find him. The only remnants he would have would be Adam's finger on his necklace that he was making of body parts.
That's a clip from the film The Kill Team by local director Dan Kraus, a film about U.S. soldiers stationed in Afghanistan back in 2009 who were convicted of murdering innocent civilians. You can see it as part of the 56th annual San Francisco International Film Festival on April 26th at the Berkeley Art Museum and Pacific Film Archive at UC Berkeley. And there are more dates if you just check the website, festival.sffs.org. That's interesting to say on the radio because an F sounds like an S. But go to our website, klw.org, and you'll find it. Ted, I found it a deeply disturbing story. It had me kind of tense and on edge the whole time. Is this what a good film is supposed to do?
I think people, audiences always want different things from different movies. And one of the roles that a film festival can play is to help place it in a proper context and allow you to have an experience that goes beyond the film. So it is definitely a film that people should enter the theater with a little bit of knowledge about. It's also a film that we all need to think quite a bit about the issues that are involved. You know, as a young person in today's world, people don't have that many options in front of them. The military, you know, is one of the ones that's frankly spends a great deal of effort recruiting people to come join. The arts can't compete, you know, in that way. And people frequently don't know what they're getting into when they sign up. You know, it doesn't line up always with those advertisements. It's important to be able to have that kind of first-hand, first-person accounting of what goes down in those situations.
Favorite film of all time? Please answer it. I know it's tempting to say, I don't have one favorite movie.
Well, it is that to begin with, in that, you know, movies speak to us based on the context of the time that we watch them, right? So I certainly can say, like, what was the most influential movie for me? And that's in kind of in a constant battle, I think, from Taxi Driver to Clockwork Orange. But that's because I saw those films at age 15 and 16, you know, where I'm establishing my identity, you know, shaping my aesthetics, feeling in conflict with the world as those characters in those movies do, and trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to express myself going forward. So that definitely connected. I think that I look at often the viewing experience that I have and what was the most engaging of those. Being in the cinema, I happened to go the opening day at matinee show of Schindler's List in Chelsea, New York. And the 4 o'clock show is the senior citizen show. And I just thought I was sitting with a bunch of old people. And when the movie started to end, people started to stand up and stand still. And I realized I was in a room full of Holocaust survivors. And it was chilling and moving to see the connection that movie made for them. The other was just this past winter, at Sundance with Ryan Coogler's film Fruitvale, a film that the Film Society put up 25% of the money on. And it was so moving because the film is about Oscar Grant's killing, the young man who was killed on the Fruitvale subway platform on New Year's that sparked all the riots and all of that. And it was such a heartfelt story that captured that community, captured that young man. And a lot of Oscar's family were at the screening, and they stood up afterwards and kind of testified about how accurate this was and what it meant to see his life portrayed in this way. It was chilling. I was sitting in front of Oscar's aunt, and when she told that story, it just was like, this is why we make movies. This is why the struggle to get them made, to get them seen is so important. And it was just moved. So I can't say like those are my favorite movies, but those are my favorite experiences that have motivated me to do what I do.